Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Hi, Tara. At least my mic works.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I know. What do we do now?
Yeah.
We're not really sure.
Is yours working?
Yeah, mine okay, is good. Too. It's okay. And all the equipment at one time, well, simultaneously.
Fantastic.
I know, never happens.
Good day for Tara.
Yes, good. Well, you know what? We don't want to you know take it for granted this early. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Open the show today with this: Sheriff Will Lewis indicted on additional charges. The guy didn't even serve a whole year.
Yeah, he was apparently real busy.
Good gosh, I know. Anyway, we'll see what all this amounts to. He is not a convicted man, but he is an indicted individual, which is never good. Indicted this week, former Greenville County Sheriff. Well, suspended Greenville County Sheriff Will Lewis.
Yeah. Technically, he's not
former yet.
Mm-hmm.
So grand jury just returned indictments on multiple counts of misconduct in office. This is in addition to the other counts of misconduct in office. So not good for Will Lewis. It's a shame.
Yeah. Anytime you're spending a lot of time with doctors and attorneys, no offense, folks, it's not a good day.
Not a good day. Nope. Is a good day if you support medical marijuana in South Carolina. Do you see this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Clergy for cannabis, pastors for pot. We've got, a lot of religious authorities that are, for the medical purposes only, of course.
Right. And here's what's just happened with this. It's called the Compassionate Care Act. So it would legalize medicinal marijuana,
right,
not recreational use marijuana. And it's a very, very tight bill, one of the tightest in the nation. You can't just sit around and smoke it. It would be very highly regulated and that sort of thing. But anyway, key Senate committee has just passed the Compassionate Care Act. What does that mean? Well, they passed it out of committee. Most bills die in committee in South Carolina. So, it's out of committee in the Senate. We'll see if it comes to any kind of vote by the full legislature. But, it was a 5-1 vote, and the one dissenting vote was from Senator Tom Corbin of Greenville. And they added amendments to the bill that Davis and other supporters hoped would ease the concerns, the opposition from Attorney General Alan Wilson, the South Carolina Medical Association, and the South Carolina Sheriff's Association. And what those amendments did, they banned certain transportation workers from participating. That makes sense to me. You don't need to be high if you're driving something big that could hurt somebody. Working toward a, better definition, detection method for drivers under the influence, and tightening the definition of a debilitating condition. In a lot of states, you can go in and say, oh, my elbow hurts. Oh, here's some pot. Okay. So this would be a pretty tight bill. Going to be interesting to see if it gets a full floor vote. I wondered, it'd be interesting to see if the governor will sign it.
Very true. It's a long way to go.
Yeah, very long way to go.
This is further than a lot of folks thought it would get.
And further than we've ever seen it get, so at least with this bill. So that will be interesting. March Seabrook, president of South Carolina Medical Association, says his group still opposes the bill. The bill, even as amended, continues to circumvent the safe practices established for bringing new drugs to the market, which potentially puts patients' health at risk. Yeah, and that's why Congress needs to just go ahead and legalize this medicinally if we're going to do this as a state. That way you could regulate it, but more importantly, you could study it. You could get it into the lab. You could do those kinds of things, really have science involved in an organized kind of way. But anyway, so going to be interesting to see how much further this goes. It is, March, so there's a few months left for it. But, potentially it's not up against the deadline as it has been in the past. So we'll see.
Well,
good move.
They've always got to wait till the last 3 or 4 weeks of the session to argue about the budget so that they can make sure that nothing else gets passed anyway. So that's generally modus operandi of the legislature in Columbia, is that we talk about all kind of things down here before we get to the budget, and then we shove everything to the back of the list, take up the budget, and it's like, oh, look at there, clock's run out, we don't have time. Sorry.
Yep.
See you next year.
And what's interesting about this issue is that law enforcement is on, and these medical folks are on the other side of the people. I mean, 70% of South Carolinians consistently have supported legalizing marijuana for medicinal purposes in polls.
Yeah, I tell you, that's one of those things, whenever it comes up in a conversation, not that I go around talking about this all the time, but when people that I talk with, I mean, whether it's church or wherever, it's pretty broad support. This is one of those times when the polls, to me, seem to be very indicative of exactly what's going on with the populace.
Yeah, and I think part of what you're seeing here is that, you know, when you have CDC numbers year in and year out showing that since at least the 1990s, about half of high school students have graduated high school having tried pot, and people tried it and went, oh, wow. Wow, this isn't as big of a deal as that time I got drunk. And I think a lot of people out there have tried it illegally, and they're just, you know, it's not a...
It's not an opioid.
It's not an opioid. It's not a drug like heroin. Yeah. It's not a drug like crack. And they, you know, because they've tried it and it wasn't a big deal, they don't think of it as they do other drugs. And I think that's where some of the public support, or they know somebody who has tried it and their life was just fine. So, you know, I mean, it is very distinguishable from the other drugs. It is a plant.
Yeah, but that's not to say that there could not be other issues.
No, there could be.
There
absolutely
are other studies and things that are going on, and folks who have differing opinions and differing experiences. So,
yeah, but they do have a point. I mean, the medical association. I mean, they do have a point. You normally anything that has the power and ability of marijuana to affect the body and alter the state of mind is normally put through tremendous clinical trials before it ever hits the market. I mean, this really is an exception to the way we do things with other mind-altering drugs,
yeah,
if that makes any sense. I mean, if you're going to use it medicinally, you could say, well, we didn't do testing with alcohol. Yeah, but it's not considered a medical. You know, there's no medical application for alcohol.
Yeah. Not the kind that you take internally.
No, there used to be. They'd get you drunk before they cut your arm off on the battlefield. But now, not so much, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, there's that. So, I mean, I really can see a day when this will be legal in South Carolina for medicinal purposes. I think that is coming. Would you say, Lee, just watching all of this, do you think if you had to bet over under, could you see it being legal in South Carolina, like in the next 5 years, medicinal?
Yes. Yeah, in 5 years, yeah. I still think that they'll find a way to kill it this session. I think what they'll do is, well, we tried. We tried so hard. We tried. And then it'll probably fail this time, but in the next session or two, I think that they will get that through.
And you have Tom Davis, and I like Tom Davis. He's a good guy, Senator Tom Davis. But he said, you know, I want to draw a bright line against the recreational use of cannabis. Not going to happen. We won't pass that here. We just want medicinal. Don't worry, we won't be back for recreational. I love you, Tom, but I don't believe you.
I think he may believe that and may think that that's possible. I just don't. And I do think that that's one of the downsides of this is that eventually you're going to, and I know all the pro-pot folks are going to hate me for saying this, but you're going to introduce another drug into, and I know it's natural, but another, as you said, mind-altering type of entity or thing that will once again be an opportunity for folks to waste their time. I mean, I look at, and I realize that marijuana, even done recreationally, I agree, is not as dangerous as some other things. But why do we want to keep adding to it? I mean, we've got all of the horrible opioid situation that's going on, and that's a prescription drug, and at least that's the way it started. We've got, you know, methamphetamines. We've got all the other things that are out there that are destroying lives and taking lives, and sometimes innocent lives when, you know, someone is on these things and, you know, crashes or steals something or shoots somebody because they're under the influence of it. And I realize that for the vast majority of people that, you know, marijuana does not induce these types of really bad effects. But still, it's just sad to me that we have such a society that is trying to escape from reality so bad. And we live in the most prosperous, most free nation on the face of the planet, and yet we're destroying ourselves and our lives. And I just, why do we want to add another opportunity to that?
And you're talking about in terms of recreational.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's just a waste of time. There's so many other important things that we need to experience, that we need to be doing, that we need to be, things we need to be fulfilling, that you're wasting your time with just getting yourself mind numbed.
On the other flip side, though, I mean, I have a girlfriend who lives in a state, one of my sorority sisters, actually, who lives in a state where it is legal, and she uses it for her back pain and was able to...
Totally different issue.
Yeah, was able to get it off, was able to finally get off opioids.
Right.
And she had it, you know, she had it, she was one of the first to open my eyes to opioids. She had a terrible situation where a doctor gave her a prescription and, you know, for opioids and didn't say, oh, hey, you know what, this is going to be harder to get off than cigarettes. And... you know, she told me after her first month on the opioids, when he cut her off, her back pain's back, so why bother, right? And, I mean, she had debilitating back pain.
I mean, she
used to be an incredible athlete, couldn't even run, swim, had to stay in bed when she was pregnant because she couldn't get up because of the pain. Anyway, and, you know, she's just basically, she's finally got a prescription that works for her, and she's back to running again. She's taken off 40 pounds. She looks incredible. I mean, I never thought she would run again. So she's out there booking it on some pot, you know what I mean? And it's a very low dose, but she says it works better than the opioids. She had to go into treatment to get off the 1 month opioid prescription she was put on by a doctor. I mean, that's how hard it was to get off of. So I've seen the other side of it, and there really is something there for medicinal patients, I think. But, you know, we'll see what the legislature does. This will be an interesting one to watch. Is this you? New study, the average person can get away with not remembering five things a day because technology does it for us. Yep, the top things we forget are passwords, phone numbers, and how to spell certain words. You know, it's embarrassing to admit the folks whose phone numbers I don't even know anymore. I don't know my father's phone number. I couldn't give it to you. I have no idea. I've been calling him for years, and I don't know. He's had a new cell phone number for a couple of years. I have no idea what it is. I just auto-dial it. It's under Dad. I know my husband's number by heart. You know what? I can't tell you my brother's or my sister's either. They're just saved in my phone. I have nobody. If I had to call him from a payphone and I didn't have my cell phone, I'd be lost. I'd probably have to call my husband to try to get him to figure it out. Are you like that? Anyway, recent poll found the average person can get away with not remembering five things a day because technology does it for them. Yeah, you know what makes up for that, though? The passwords that you forgot. You end up locked out of stuff. Yeah. By the way, 13% of people in the poll said they don't know their own phone number off the top of their head. Some other stuff that made the top 20 things we don't have to remember anymore: people's addresses, birthdays, names, directions. And what time your favorite shows are on, because whoever watches your show at the time it's on, right? When it comes on anymore, nobody does that. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Text line 71307. All right. So, you know what? Let me see. What is this? Okay. Let's jump on line one with Brad. Hey, Brad.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I have two quick things real quick about the medical marijuana discussion that you were having. One, my father was a Marine for 35 years. He served two tours in Vietnam. He was a sniper. When I grew up, my father used to have severe flashbacks, at which time the VA used to send a bushel basket full of medicine that would try and kill my dad. At which time, my dad turned to medical marijuana back in the years ago. It was not medical. It was just if you could find it. And it cured my dad of many things. He never touched a VA med. So my thing is this. You know, yeah, the pharmaceutical companies, it would put a very big hurt on them. But how many other military people are hurting? Take this pill, but it'll hurt this. Take this pill, it'll kill this. You're living off pills when medical marijuana was here before you or I, and it's here to help. Two, if you go down Woodruff Road at any time during the day, you're going to see a dozen, if not more, of breweries and bars. All you got to do is apply for an alcohol license. You can get a bar open. It's okay to drink and drive. But you can't take something to help your body? Do the math. They want you to drink and drive and kill a family of four, but not sit at home and smoke a joint and get away from PTSD, arthritis, back pain, rheumatoid arthritis. but they want you to drive drunk.
Yeah, and yeah, no, and admittedly, it doesn't make sense. And thank you for your phone call, Brad. Texter, kind of with the same sentiment. Well, I appreciate Lee's passion. He should feel the same way and want to outlaw alcohol. I have witnessed firsthand how medicinal marijuana helps an opioid patient overcome withdrawals. Using it medicinally will not lead to lethargic, lazy people, nor is it a gateway drug. You know, I have learned from, you know, from my friend who takes cannabis medicinally. She's a mom of four. And I have learned so much from her. And part of it is because before she became a stay-at-home mom, she was a scientist and she worked in a bio lab, and she is just desperate to get this stuff into a lab, where you can remove the, you know, the properties that are negative and focus on the CBD side of things. And part of the problem with this, and she sent me a lot of stuff over the years and it's fascinating to read, is that people associate marijuana, you know, with the way they've seen it in movies, which is sitting on a couch and couch lock and tired and lazy and burning your life away. But that is marijuana grown mostly by the Mexican cartels, which is to say it's not really cured at all. It is harvested for maximum, you know, growth in terms of ounces. There is a whole scale of marijuana that does completely different things from what we've seen in movies, and that the, you know, the stereotypes are just inaccurate. I mean, they've actually are at the point now where they're looking at it as ADHD medicine as an upper. That's the opposite of what you look at on a couch, from, you know, sitting on a couch with couch lock. Why? Well, it depends on where in the cycle of the plant you harvested. If you let it go all the way over to the CBD side, it has very little THC, but tremendous properties for appetite. It, you know, and it does a lot of other things for pain too. And so, you know, what she was saying to me, she sent me a fascinating article on this. There's just a little part of the spectrum that everybody thinks is how marijuana works, the sort of couch lock, Cheech and Chong part. And that's the stuff that is mass produced, by the Mexican cartels, largely trucked in here. And it's a very poor quality. And, you know, when you look at what they can do in cannabis dispensaries now, you have the whole range of pot from the energetic side. Like if you have a lot of housework you want to get done, it's a great, you know, boost to get it done, give you energy, get you going to work out, that kind of thing. There's a whole spectrum of that people aren't even aware of what it does. And she said, you know, I'd love to get this stuff into a lab because it's all natural and see, you know, what properties can we isolate? What can we remove? Let the pharmaceutical companies with their, you know, teams of scientists get into this and see what they can do. And she said, you know, I'd love to get to the point where I can just use this stuff and have absolutely no high from it, but still have the incredible pain-killing effects that she has. And to see what it's done in her life is unbelievable. She couldn't take opioids because she got addicted to them because of her back pain. And she does. She has tremendous, tremendous back pain. And back pain to the point where she could get surgery for it, but she would, you know, really risk having physical problems from the surgery. So she's in a bad spot. But, you know, just her being able to resume exercise again and do things that she couldn't do before because of the pain. And to watch that is really quite something. And it doesn't slow her down at all. I mean, she's got a full life. So Texter writes, my son is in the sixth grade. He came home the other day and said they found a bag of marijuana in the hall of his middle school. Middle school. I'm dreading middle school. A child going to middle school next year. I am not looking forward to it. Just text me back. What school was that? I just love to know. I won't read it on the air. Texter writes, what an idiot. They don't want. What? I don't understand. Texter writes, good luck finding a payphone these days. Are you kidding? You should see the list of payphones in Greenville. I kid you not, there's like 30 of them. There's a lot of payphones. It's just surprising, but there's a lot of payphones around. All right, to the text line for the violent backlash, or nearly so. Texter writes, you will never make me believe inhaling something on fire is good for the body. Well, that won't be legal in South Carolina if the medicinal marijuana bill passes because you cannot take it in a smokable form. And the reason they did that in the bill is so that you could have a, you know, measurable way of knowing what you were taking it in. Texter writes, Tara, quit trying to run a scam on everybody about medical marijuana. The American Medical Association thinks it's a bad idea. Yeah, these are the same geniuses who think opioids are a good idea. And they've caused just untold crisis. I mean, do you realize we now have a drug overdose and opioid overdose problem that and this has not happened in the last decade, where more people are dying of that than auto accidents? I mean, that's insanity. That's these same geniuses with the American Medical Association. Who, you know, I mean, you would think as scientists, they would want to at least legalize it for research purposes. Because opioids just aren't working. It's not working. It is absolutely not working. It is causing a tremendous crisis when you look at, again, more people dying from opioid overdoses in this country than dying from auto accidents. We have never seen that before in America. So they don't have the solution. And just because they're doctors, I'm not going to say they know best because, you ever had a problem, you go to three doctors, you get three different opinions. I mean, everybody's got one. This texture, though, taking me to the woodshed. Tara, quit trying to run a scam on everybody about medical marijuana. The American Medical Association thinks it's a bad idea. Why don't you admit it's about recreational use for all the dope heads out there? Well, I did earlier. If you listen to the earlier segment, I argued both sides of this. I said I didn't believe Senator Tom Davis when he said he just wants medicinal marijuana and he won't be back for recreational. I don't believe that. So we're in agreement on that. Anyway, this person continues to rip your humble host by saying smoking pot has bad effects on the body, just like cigarettes. And the PTSD is BS. It's just a way to get pills for people. My grandpa fought and didn't have a problem with it. Yeah, but many do. It's unique to each person. Texter writes, memory, my grandfather never used the phone book. He just dialed their number. Can you remember your childhood phone number? I can. I'd say it out loud right now, except... you can still reach my family at it, so I'm not going to do it. This person just gave me theirs. Text writes, hey, Tara, this is the hairy-legged toxic male bachelor. We have got to get you a woman. Good God, how long has this been going on? What, like 4 years? Anyway, Tara, this is the hairy-legged toxic male bachelor, and this... wait, what? I don't get that. Anyway. Get yourself a woman. Let's move on. Text writes, hey, Tara, I have a brother who works in the sheriff's office. Most of the time when they come across somebody with a small amount of marijuana, they are either let go or given a small ticket. That's how insignificant marijuana is, even with law enforcement now. So says Marcus in Greenville. Good to hear from you, Marcus. Always is. All right. Meantime, I want to jump on this because this is one of those social cultural marker events that you ought to remember. You ought to bookmark in your mind that this has happened. It seems like a small thing, but it is not. Did you hear what happened at Google? Google just banned a video, because, you know, they own YouTube, too, explaining Christian teaching on same-sex marriage. And what it basically says is the, you know, listen, we love and welcome gay people, and we want them to be Christians, we want them to join us, but gay marriage is a sin, is what it says. And it says, listen, so, you know, so is sex outside of marriage. So are all these things sin? So there's a lot of Christians who are straight who are sinning too. I mean, it's the boilerplate message basically. And somebody within Google spotted the ad, and it was running on YouTube, and it was targeting gay people. And this caused an uproar inside of Google. And so the VP of Google had to step in after employees were offended by the Christian video on marriage, and they banned it. Google HR highlighted the video in an internal newsletter dedicated to policing microaggressions online. Okay, here's why this is a big deal. And the world's not going to come tomorrow, but here's what you need to know. The video was by Christian radio host Michael L. Brown, and he argues in it that gay people are welcome as Christians, that they are very much wanted, but that, like every other person, they are called to follow Christian teachings on sex and marriage. Okay, here's your problem. What this video says is what the Bible says. If a video that says the same thing the Bible does is a microaggression and must be taken down, is so offensive inside of Google, just some employees saw it, that the VP has to step in to deal with the microaggression. How many steps is it? How many little baby steps are we going to see before videos referencing the Bible begin to come down? Because I don't think it's a big step, folks. I don't think it's a big step. And listen, I've been saying this for a long time, and so has Lee. What they will do, This is going to become the litmus test. If you use a Bible, the one that's currently configured for most Christian religions, has a very anti-homosexual message. It's unmistakable. That will have to be stripped from the Bible, or you're going to have to disavow your church if your church doesn't use a stripped Bible version. That they are absolutely headed in that direction. That either must be edited out and censored out of the Bible, or any church that uses the Bible in its, you know, it's basically its current form, is going to become verboten. It's going to become homophobic. And we will very quickly get to the point, if we let them, that anything that refers to the Bible will be censored because it is a homophobic document. By the way, the Christian radio host Michael L. Brown, who did the video, has spoken out extensively in the past against hatred of homosexuality, ugly rhetoric against gay and lesbian people, and has been adamant that they be welcomed into the church. So this is not a radical guy. This is not a guy who is saying unchristian things about gay people. This is not that. And yet, a step too far for Google. Well, if this has to go, folks, the Bible does too. And that's exactly where they're going with this. Texter writes, this is Alan from Greer. Saul Alinsky, remove religion from the masses. Texter writes, I was addicted to opiates and on my own decided in 2012 to quit. The doctor would give me 120 Lortab a month, and that wasn't enough. The long-term effects for me is how it changed my brain, exhausting all my serotonin and recovery. And recovery for this takes years. Now the texter writes, soon everybody will be on Xanax like Nancy and those crazy Democrats. Texter writes, scientists that tell us marijuana is for us are the same scientists that tell us climate change is going to kill the world. Another texter writes, I just love this, the diversity of views on this on the text line. By the way, the text line is 71307 if you want to join in. Nothing, texter writes, nothing like a puff of grass before dinner. The oil helps the arthritis in my hands. Well, good for you, sir. Texter writes, doctors invest heavily in drug companies and are looking out for their investments. Yeah, so see so many different views on this. Another texter writes, reminder to the worshiper of the American Medical Association, doctors are only practicing medicine. Yeah, and this is, by the way, they're reacting to the news that the medicinal marijuana legalization bill has made it out of the state Senate subcommittee on that. So it's it could be, you know, held for a vote on the floor of the Senate. Now, so it has advanced. It has died in committee several times. It's just advanced now. I mean, we would need a vote in the House, a vote in the Senate, and of course the governor would have to sign it. We don't know if any of that would happen. But this is, this is definitely this bill advancing, so that's why it's news. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. Meanwhile, in Colorado, the beginning of the Civil War. I don't know, are we going to have a Civil War in this country? I don't think it'll be like the Civil War we had before. I've said this before, I think we'll balkanize. We'll simply fragment into constitutional and post-constitutional jurisdictions. And that those jurisdictions may end up, when they abut each other, going to war with each other eventually. If we continue down the road we're going. No guarantee of that. But you can see the seeds of that in this. We've been following closely what's going on in Colorado and Arizona. And what is happening is gun confiscation laws are passing the legislatures. Colorado, that's a Democrat legislature. Well, there's a lot of Republican-controlled areas in Colorado. And the sheriffs there have declared their counties to be Second Amendment sanctuaries. Well, the left loves sanctuaries from federal law for themselves when it comes to illegal immigration. When we want sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, that's a no-no. They go all law and order on you then. You understand, dual justice and anarchy are only for them. They're the only ones smart enough in our country to pick and choose which laws they will follow and which laws they will ignore. So what's going on in Colorado is that these sheriffs in 10 Colorado counties have declared themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. And they're saying, listen, when the gun confiscation orders come, we're not going to enforce them. We're not doing it. Well, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser is now threatening them. He says sheriffs who won't carry out red flag bill court orders to confiscate their constituents' guns should resign. And he threatened them further. He said, bottom line, law enforcement will be legally bound to follow through on any protection order, or ERPO, issued by a court to confiscate people's guns. And he's saying, you know, you will be living outside the law as a sheriff if you will not enforce the law. And if a sheriff cannot follow the law, the sheriff cannot do his or her job. This is the attorney general, a Democrat. He says the right thing for that sheriff to do who says I can't follow the law is to resign. He says every sheriff will be required to follow the state law. Isn't it just so funny how they go law and order when it comes to guns, but when it comes to illegals, law and order, is not an option for them. You want to see dual justice system, folks? They literally believe laws don't apply to them, but they must apply to us. Folks, this is what the battle is in this country. I mean, before we were fighting over which way we're going to do stuff and what we should all believe. Now we're fighting over who has to follow the law and who does not. And in the left's opinion, you need to follow the law and they do not. They do not. Wouldn't it be awesome if this same attorney general said he was going to crack down on sanctuary cities? You know, for illegals. That'll never happen. So the conflict's all set up, folks. The battle lines have been drawn. You're going to see this in state after state. But it's happening right now in Colorado with the attorney general threatening sheriffs who won't confiscate guns.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.